Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today on this eventful day.
And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll talk about the beginning of summer 2016. The moon will be full on this day, shedding plenty of light on the start of a new season. This summer will bring with it plenty of opportunities and challenges. So this show will focus on the masculine side of the event and the integration of the Father Principle. Again, welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. So Swami, what makes today so special?
Well, there's some pretty major events going on. In fact, the full moon is going to happen in about 1 minute, which is pretty timely. It's probably the first time we're talking about an astrological event that's actually happening as we speak. And, of course, it's going to be the longest day of the year, the summer solstice, and that will happen at 6:35 p.m. tonight. And, you know, it's also kind of like in the wake of Father's Day, which was yesterday. So working on the 1-2-3 principle, we've got quite a bit going on here today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Grand Cross that accompanies this full moon that's happening as we're speaking.
Yeah, what a loaded day today. It's so exciting. Well, first of all, I did want to let our listeners in on some information about Father's Day. I usually try to give a little bit of history on some topics that we have covered. And obviously, it is a celebration that honors the fathers and celebrating fatherhood, even paternal bonds and the influence of fathers in society. But in Catholic Europe, it was actually celebrated on March 19th, which is St. Joseph's Day, and it has been celebrated on that day since the Middle Ages. And it was actually brought about by the Spanish and the Portuguese to Latin America. And they actually still use March 19th as their day to celebrate Father's Day. But in the United States, what's happening here in the United States, I actually didn't get started. The first known recorded celebration of Father's Day was actually back in 1908 in Grafton, West Virginia, and it was actually a sermon that was done by a woman named Grace Golden Clayton. She was mourning the loss of her father, and she had asked the pastors in her church to do a sermon honoring fathers. So that's actually the very first recorded Father's Day. And then, of course, if you read on Wikipedia, you can see how there's other places around the country that had tried to celebrate Father's Day, but it really wasn't until, I believe, 1911 where they had actually decided nationally to celebrate Father's Day along with Mother's Day. And I think that's a great thing, that we honor the father principle, not just the mother principle. And I don't mean just for the sake of consumerism either. I think we have to understand both the mother and the father.
Oh, definitely. You know, the integration of the masculine and the feminine principles is really an important association to have. And a big part of our practice of Kriya Yoga, we do recognize, you know, the pulse that the universe is on. And so the masculine side is an essential part for personal development, because that's the whole thing of where intelligence is able to express feelings that the conscious mind actually starts to develop psychological organs. See, what we call intelligent doesn't necessarily mean your IQ, but it's your ability to use your mental functions, perception, reason, memory, intuition. And so that has a big part to do with the father principle, the masculine principle. And again, it's very important to understand that it's principle and not gender, not necessarily mom and dad, but whether you're a man or you're a woman, we're dealing with, you know, the integration of these two principles.
You know, I was just remembering when I was in junior high school, the first time I was really aware of masculine and feminine as something different than, you know, people, like you said, gender, was when I was actually taking French, the French language in junior high school, and they have words that are feminine and masculine, and I thought that was just so odd, but then I thought about it, and then, you know, then you realize that it's just a very small part of that type of awareness. You know, then it kind of really opened things up for me, and then more and more things started falling off the shelves at me when I was at that age, understanding what the difference was between the feminine and the masculine.
Yeah, I think it's a really important thing to understand that you really need both, that it's not a question of polarizing on one at the expense of the other, that the masculine and the feminine work so well together when they are integrated, as opposed to just when we polarize on one. And that's one of the major accomplishments that we do with Kriya Yoga, is the whole thing of pratyahara. You know, where all of a sudden the conscious mind now rises above instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival. That you're kind of out of the automatic mind, and now you're able to customize things using your mental functions. And that really is not something that just happens to us. It's the direct result of employing strategies, disciplines, and recognizing how oftentimes the pattern of our bodies are really what's running our show. And then to develop your psychological organs to the extent that you're able to control your behavior and your appearance. You know, so, but again, not at the expense of one, because if you polarize on the feminine and you lose the benefit of the masculine, it's actually the dynamics of addictive compulsive behavior, violence, emotionality. But by the same token, if you polarize on the masculine at the expense of the feminine, you know, our behavior becomes cold, calculating, and it's void of passion or eventually compassion. So there's really not a lot of power to it. It's very, very stale.
So how can we bring upon our awareness if we're lacking in one or the other? What are the telltale signs that we should look for in ourselves? Because don't we have to really understand the way we are before we can actually try to make these conscious changes?
Yeah, I think just recognizing that there are different levels of consciousness, different degrees of awareness is a start. Recognizing that if you are controlled by your pattern, you know, that you are compulsive and reactive and emotional, that you're lacking the masculine principle. And by the same token, if you are you know, cold and calculating, and you don't have that sense of passion, then of course you're lacking the feminine principle.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our summary that we talked about in the beginning of the show, we said that the summer will bring with it plenty of opportunities and challenges. So what are some of those opportunities that we can look forward to?
Well, the thing I would really look at is the grand cross that accompanies the full moon that's happening today, which you know, will be part of the chart for summer solstice. And it includes Mercury, Jupiter, Neptune, and Saturn. And so that's, again, Mercury and Jupiter, that's your lower mind and your higher mind. Saturn is how we put things into form. And of course, when you're looking towards any type of development, you really want to look towards Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Because Uranus is the higher octave of Jupiter and Mercury, and it represents imagination and organized ideas. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Uranus? I'm sorry. Uranus is the higher octave of Saturn and the Sun Moon, and it represents inspiration and a flashing insight. And then Neptune, of course, is the higher octave of Jupiter and Mercury, so it represents imagination and organized ideas. And the final transpersonal planet is Pluto, which is the higher octave of Mars and Venus, and it represents transformation, the whole process of going from a wave to a particle. So Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, they work very much together with regard to, you know, where you get like your insight and then all of a sudden you organize your idea and then you manifest whatever it is that you're trying to do. And having a grand cross is, you know, all the slots are filled, so you're getting a really strong look at how we can start to create our reality.
You're always talking about in theory class or just in your everyday teachings, always about using your creativity and your imagination. So it sounds to me like this is a grand opportunity for us to employ that particular strategy that you always say, to start that today and then throughout the rest of the summer. So maybe have a plan and then start using our creative imagination to try to put things into form.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's exactly what you want to actually do, is organize your thoughts and then create a plan. And then one of the things, like we say, through repetition comes absorption. So that if you continue to strive for whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish and you are relentless, chances are that you will manifest whatever it is that you're trying to manifest. But you have to be consistent with what you're asking for. You can't be jumping all over the place. And just going from one flashing insight to another flashing insight to another flashing insight. And I think the Mercury and the Jupiter involved in this grand cross is really powerful in that, because then you learn the workings of the lower mind and the higher mind.
So I think we're going to pause. I have some questions for you about that, but I do want to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll return with you shortly, and then I believe I'll open up the phone lines. So if you have any questions for Swami about this celestial event, you can ask that when we return.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness, and we are celebrating the summer solstice. So, listeners, if you have any questions for Swami regarding what's going on, you can ask your questions right now.
I have a question. My question would be, so if it's called a Grand Cross, is there any type of religious connotation relative to, or integration, if you will, of Christianity into this pattern?
To answer your question, I think that the concept of the cross really comes way before the Christian use of the actual configuration. But it has a lot to do with manifestation, the whole thing of, you know, the crucifixion of the body is a really important thing that leads to the resurrection of the Son and the reunion with the Father, which is more of what I would call the Christian myth, which really has its roots more in the astrology than actual Christianity, if that answers your question.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, yeah.
So, but that's an interesting point, though, that would call it the Grand Cross, because we were just talking about using symbols, you know, like the flag, the prayer flags and things like that, using things for symbols. And isn't it interesting how something just keeps kind of like repeating themselves in our shows, and how the cross is also a symbol, and it can mean many things to many different people.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's such things as the Maltese cross, mm-hmm. which doesn't really have much to do with Christianity, but symbolism is an important part of trying to understand the human condition and the complexity of the human experience. And so when we have astrological configurations like the one that we're going through today, I really like to capitalize on them, really like to try and focus and do a lot of introspection and analysis and reflection on just what's going on and how I'm internalizing these events, because your direct experience with it, I think, is your greatest teacher.
You know, I can remember as a kid, when the first day of summer would come, it meant something very different when you're a kid. You know, it's more like, here's the start of my summer vacation officially. But then as kids, you know, we were always playing outdoors. It was, you know, we had this different connection to the outside world around us, to nature and things like that, where you know, we were, it was a celebration to play outside finally. You know, you didn't have to go to school and things like that. And maybe having that same feeling, we talked about feelings too, putting that same feeling that we had as children on this day, and then and and trying to integrate that as an adult. And wouldn't we all benefit from that if we had that same feeling of joy that the first day of summer brings us as children, and like I said, to integrate that as adults?
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing, like what you were saying earlier about using your imagination, using your creativity, and in some respects, enlarging the event, creating your commercial for the event, mm-hmm. so that you're saturating the event with nourishing thoughts. And you are cultivating your attitude about things, because the more we talk about it, life is a simple mind game. It's the association between symbols and feelings, and the more proactive we are with organizing and arranging symbols that will produce feelings that are more positive for us. You know, to try and keep ourselves maybe chemically charged with positive energy.
If I remember correctly, I think that we talked about on a show when we celebrated the first day of winter. I think we talked about winter as being that time to, you know, celebrate, that time to be introspective and things like that. And now we're at summer, which is like the complete opposite, I would imagine. And I believe that in the Chinese medicine, that this is a time that we should be expansive. This is when we expressive and being able to live within each season. And to be doing those things that these seasons represent for us makes us more in tune to the universe around us.
Oh, sure. And it makes you a more integrated person, because that's basically what we're striving for with Kriya Yoga, is wholeness. You want to become a whole person. And recognizing that there is a time to, you know, withdraw and turn inward, and then there is a time to push outward and expand and grow, and summer is that time. Mm. And when the sun goes into Cancer tonight at 6:35, that to me is a big kickoff for moving outward.
Now, you are a Cancer, so if anybody who is a Cancer, does it have any other kind of significance for you, being a full moon and everything like that? Does it have, does it amp things up for the Cancer folks out there?
Well, if you know, the sun is returning to your natal position, it's usually positive for anybody. Mm. And so if this was the season that you were born in and your sun is in Cancer, then you're probably more comfortable with it. Mm. And so yeah, again, capitalize on it. Get behind it. Because when we have the opportunity where the wind is at our back, you really want to open up your sails and, you know, just let the energy pull your life in the direction that you want it to go.
Mm-hmm. And that just reminded me, when you were talking about that, reading your CPS posts every day can also, that's from on our website, can also assist people in taking advantage as to what's going on celestially.
Yeah, if you're accustomed to doing this on a regular basis, then of course, when you have a day like today, you're better equipped. Mm. But if you're just going to try something for today and it's a one-off and then you don't do it again until there's something else that's big, then, you know, it limits your development and use of the practice. Mm.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that just reminded me of we shouldn't just wait for these big events to come along, the full moons, the solstices, the equinoxes, and so on and so forth. So we should have this sense maybe of this celebratory kind of attitude maybe every day. And then I would imagine that things fall into place more when we change our perspective on a daily basis. Like you get more of a return, you know, daily.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you just get better and better at it because you're using, again, your mental functions. You're using intelligence and you know, the term that's oftentimes is you're honing or sharpening your mind. Mm-hmm. And of course, the more focus you have, then the easier it is for you to concentrate, the easier it is for you to emit thoughts that have intention. And so you start to see that it's a good practice to work with on a regular basis. And the more that you can keep your inner environment percolating, you know, keeping your inner environment happy and vibrant, and using whatever transits or progressions or events and circumstances that you're going through, and to try and use your creativity and your imagination to optimize and shape your attitude to fit that, I think is really important.
You know, you reminded me of that movie that we saw last night called The School of Life, and the teacher in that movie, what a good example he was for using his creativity and his imagination to teach his students. So I enjoyed that part of the movie, you know, and how he taught children and got them excited to use their imagination. And I thought that was a good example of that.
It definitely was. And the more that you can inspire people to get engaged in their lives, you know, because sitting around and just trying to, you know, feed information to kids isn't working, you know, but to get them, like you said, engaged in what's going on and involved and asking them what they want, finding out what motivates them, kind of gives you a little leverage so that you can actually teach as opposed to just try and dispense information.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's probably about that time to start closing down our program. So, listeners, I'd like to invite you out there to, of course, visit the website, follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter, and, of course, on Facebook. And then once they're on the website, www.ipdtransform.com, you can post comments about this show or any ideas of shows you'd like us to consider. But be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be talking about Asana. And so be sure to tune in for that. And then you can email me, of course, at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions you'd like Swami to answer. So, Swami, any more final thoughts or comments about our discussion today or maybe our topic next week?
Well, I would like to encourage people to really try and take advantage of today and the events that are happening celestially, and take some time to be introspective, analytical, observant, reflective. And like you had said, start using your imagination, start using your creativity, and start coloring your life. And start making your life as magical as you possibly can. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.